It's the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Todd Robbins is back on the show with me today. Todd is a magician and a self-described carnival freak. Kind of guy who likes hammering nails into his nose and eating light bulbs on stage and does some cool card tricks as well. He is also the host of True Nightmares, a wonderful series that airs Saturday nights at 9 Central Time on ID. That's Investigation Discovery. Season 2 of True Nightmares started last Saturday night. Season 1, by the way, if you have missed any of the episodes, available now on YouTube. But I'm happy to have him back here to talk about Episode 2 of Season 2, which will be on tomorrow night. Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now that I'm speaking to you, I'm even better.
Oh, thank you very much. Season 2 underway. How many episodes will we get in this season?
Just 6. Just 6. They're playing the cards close to the vest with us because, you know, what we've done is an expansion on what they normally do on ID. Most of the shows have just reenactments and interviews and some voiceover, and we are doing basically 3 small short movies per hour of each episode. And it has a very kind of Twilight Zone quality, and it has a little better production values than they normally are doing. So the response has been very strong, but they're still very conservative over there in Investigation Discovery. So hopefully if people watch in and get hooked on it, we'll do many, many more, because there's a lot of strange stories out there.
Yeah, I love the 3 that you had on last week. You had a sleepwalking murderer, you had a grave robber, and you had some mysterious deaths in an old age home.
And yeah, there's a party for you right there.
Right. And for anybody who hasn't seen the show, the reason I like it, I've known you for years, and you pop up in the middle of the scenes. And originally, when you told me you were going to be doing the show, I thought it was going to be like Rod Serling on the old Twilight Zone, just at the beginning and just at the end. But no, there you are. Two characters walk out of a room past the door, and there you are at the door talking about the story.
Yeah, when I show up, bad things happen. and not only in the show, but in life in general. It's very, very fitting. It's fun to sort of be ghosted in these reenactments and talk directly to the viewers and kind of let them know what's going on. And do so in kind of, hopefully, in a little wry sense of humor, very, very kind of gallows, Alfred Hitchcockian quality to the little jokes I make and the humor and wit that I bring to the series.
Now, is that CGI or are you actually there?
Oh, I'm there. I'm there, and that's part of the fun of it. We have one coming up in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think, about a Halloween. That was all trick and no treat. It was a Halloween that poisoned Halloween forever happened back in the 70s and an incident that happened. And I did the opening little spiel with kids running back and forth. And they kind of run up to a door and they get the candy, and as they run away, now I'm standing next to the door where I wasn't just a moment ago. And I'm talking to the camera, and I do this little spiel about Halloween is such a wonderful time. It allows some people to pretend to be someone else, and for others to show exactly who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finished the spiel and kind of we called cut, and I walked away, one of the little kids that was trick-or-treating, one of the background actor kids who's about 11 years old, she looked at me and said, "You're kind of evil." And I smiled at her sweetly, and I said, no, not really. I'm sort of like that nice guy you may know that wears too much cologne, and then when he enters a room, it sort of wafts forth, and everyone is kind of overwhelmed by it. I'm like that. I'm sort of a nice guy that has evil trailing behind me, and it kind of envelops and consumes everyone I come in contact with.
And, Todd, you
and,
love...
And she screamed and ran away, so I thought my work was done.
Perfect. Yes, your work was done. Yeah. But also, you love dark and twisted stuff, don't you?
Well, yeah, because you can't have the light without the dark. And I think you kind of have to celebrate the fact that everyone has a little darkness in us. We all have dark urges. And when you see these tales, you kind of can reward yourself that you haven't gone as far as these people that we chronicle on our show. And you got to bring it out. You got to, I mean, that's what Halloween is all about. It's about letting that out for a moment and having some fun with it and letting a little steam off. It's because when you repress it, when you tamp it down, when you try to deny it, it will come bubbling up in strange and dark and awful ways. And that's when people grab guns or vote for Trump.
Now, the timing is perfect because this is the Halloween month,
yes.
And the scary stuff is going to be there. Not all scary, by the way. It's not all horror, somebody jumping out from behind things, but just dark and twisted stories of people who've done things, some of them in recent years, some of them going back over 100 years, right?
Yes, there's some old stories. Matter of fact, we have one coming up in this next week that happened actually in the early 1800s, but in order to kind of make it so that people can relate to it, we've taken the essence of the story and updated it and done a much more contemporary telling of it. It also saves a lot of money when you don't have to do all the period things.
Yeah.
To try to be accurate, because people watch it. Oh, no. The tie on that guy was wrong. That you're supposed to be an 1810, and that's an 1830 tie. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Get a life.
When you're getting trolled on Twitter by costume fetishists, that's not good.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that are from all stripes, and I think that's wonderful. I like people that kind of get into all. We have, just recently, we have a story coming up in a couple of weeks about people who went to a Ouija board to seek answers, and the answers they got were not the answers they expected. And I've become friends with a man who has the world's largest collection of Ouija boards and knows everything about them. And he was one of the experts that we brought on to talk about what, you know, the history of the Ouija board and everything. So I love finding these people that kind of have this little special corner of the world in which to investigate. And I just love all that stuff.
Now, when the producers bring you a story that you're going to do on the show, has there been any story when you were presented with it, you said, oh, come on?
No. There's a few that I brought to them that they said, oh, come on. And we're not doing. There's been a couple of stories that we couldn't quite wrap our sensibilities around, and the network went, yeah, it's a great story, but we really can't do a story about a guy who, again, got into, he was in the fetish chat rooms regarding cannibalism. And we can't really, no, let's not do cannibalism. Let's stay away. There's the line right there. Let's not do cannibalism. We're like, all right, fine, if you insist.
Yeah, we're dark and twisted, but we're still a family show, Todd.
Exactly. It's Manson family, but family nevertheless.
Todd, as I mentioned, has done a lot of stuff on stage. He's particularly great as a storyteller. And several years ago, I went to New York and got to see him do his stage show, which was called Play Dead, which, you can describe it better than I.
Well, it was an evening of stories about dead people, some good, some not so good. And they all had a relationship with death in their life. And as I'm telling the story, and you get a stronger and stronger sense of who these people are, the dead make their presence known. And at the end, they all kind of come back for a little bit of a curtain call and come back into our realm. And if the dead should return, why would you think that would be a good thing? And it scared the shellac out of a lot of people, and that's what we were doing. I wrote it with Teller, Penn and Teller, our good friend, and he directed me in it. And I'm right now in Las Vegas talking about a new touring company of it. So we might be traveling around the country doing Play Dead. So we're coming to you whether you like it or not.
Well, good. I hope that you finally do that. I hope you can be in residence in Vegas for a long time. I do remember when I came to see the show and the light comes up on you on stage and you're wearing an all-white suit. Because I know you, Todd, I knew that suit was not staying white.
It's true. It has this kind of purity to it, which is where we start with the show, and by the end of it, it's very red.
Yeah.
It's very, very, it's covered in blood. The fun thing about it was that in the show, I towards the end, the latter part of the show, it gets more personal, and it goes away from kind of creepy campfire ghost stories to really the real darkness and evil in our world, and people talking to the dead, and taking advantage of people's grief. And I get a little personal, and I talk about the fact that I like to think of myself as a good man. I have a loving wife and a young son who wants to be just like me. And I always kind of laugh because I'm standing there in a white suit covered in blood. And as a lovely little kicker, a little callback on it, on the Sunday matinee, my then 4-year-old son would come running down the aisles on the curtain call in an identical white suit drenched in blood and would jump up into my arms. And I'd say, see, I told you I had a son.
And he's just like daddy.
Yes, he is. Like father, like son. The rotten apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I do have to add in one aside here, which is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with talking to the dead. The problem is when you claim they're talking back to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And speaking of your son, Finn, has his career eclipsed his father's yet? I know he's in the business, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I used to joke that he's the heir to the Robin's fortune, but now he's making the Robin's fortune. He currently is seen in a AT&T spot. It's not really a commercial. It is more about their campaign trying to get people not to text and drive, mm-hmm. or drive and text. And it's called The Unseen, and there's a short version that's playing around quite a bit, about 30 seconds, and there's also a longer version that's appearing in movie theaters before feature films. And it involves a father who is driving his daughters to the pool, swimming pool, and he drops them off, and he's driving along, and he gets a text, and a voice in the back seat says, "Are you going to look at that?" And he looks back, and there's a boy in the back seat. He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I thought I was alone." And the kid says, are you going to look at that text? And he says, "No, I never do that when I have a kid in the car." And the kid says, "Well, don't worry, I'm not here." And the text comes up again, and he looks down for a second, and when he looks up, the kid that was in the back seat is now in front, in the street. And the car comes screeching to a halt, and the kid cringes, and you know what happens. That's my son, that kid.
Yeah.
And the point being that there are always kids around. If they're not in the car, they're always around you. So you always need. It's not a thing of when there's no one in the car, no kid in the car, I'll look at a text.
Yep.
There's a great fallacy there. So that's the point they make. And it's kind of neat that my kid is playing a ghost in this, a specter, as it were. It really is like father, like son.
Yeah, here's the Robbins family through line. Dad does a show called Play Dead, and then later his son plays dead.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Works for me.
Back to you and Teller. Are you working on a TV show or a TV or movie version of Play Dead?
Yeah, we are. The idea, and I don't want to go into too much details because it's still kind of early on. The business is crazy. And there's been a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of people that are interested, and we're just trying to move that along a little bit. But the idea of that this lovely little magic show that we do, where we're pretending to, raise the dead, for fun and profit.
Yep.
Well, what if that wasn't a show? What if that was actually some sort of alchemistic ritual that's being performed every night, and we really are resurrecting the dead? And what if there's some people out there that aren't happy about it whatsoever and will do anything to stop me from doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And the little troop that comes along with me that helps aid them. They're very lovely people. I refer to them as the family. Some others would refer to it as a cult. So that's the premise of it, and my quest to really be able to reach into the dark and bring anyone back from the dark, not just these people that had a relationship with death, but the serial killers, artistic people like Edgar Allan Poe and Alfred Hitchcock that had a relationship with death, that used as a muse. But what if I could reach in and bring anyone back? And, like Mozart or Einstein or Rembrandt or Buddha or Muhammad or Jesus Christ.
Can you bring back this one old general manager of mine so I can see him die again?
Oh, by all means. It'll be for hire. Don't worry. We'll make a profit on it. So the idea is that this is, or it's very possible that I could, by doing these rituals, create some sort of a rift between our world and the next and the real zombie apocalypse. I could be responsible for that. So there's all kinds of warring factions that are trying to keep us from doing it. And it could be funny. It's very much the True Blood meets Breaking Bad. That's really kind of what we're working on right now. So we'll see how this all shakes down, because it's what the world needs, a show like that.
See, I told you, dark and twisted. That's Todd Robbins right there. Okay, the show is called True Nightmares. It airs Saturday nights at 9 o'clock Central on Investigation Discovery. That's the ID channel. Season 2 started last weekend. It goes on for another month or so, perfect for the Halloween season. If you missed Season 1, all of those episodes are up on YouTube now.
And if I may add, they also now have an app. They have an ID Go that you can get all the back episodes and all the episodes of all the shows from ID.
Cool. I also want to mention that Todd is one of the partners in Monday Night Magic, which is the longest-running off-Broadway show in New York City. Last time I was there, I went to the show, and Todd was emceeing it and doing some stuff, including eating a light bulb. He's had more than 5,000 of those delicious little glass snacks over the years. So if you're in New York, go see Monday Night Magic. And on Saturday nights, check out True Nightmares. And we'll look forward to the rest of your projects so we can have you back and talk about those.
I would just like to add in, I know some people, they watch the show, and because it is on later in the evening, that it kind of creeps them out a little bit, and they might have trouble sleeping. If anyone has that problem, I'll be more than happy to come to your home, tuck you in, turn out the light, and stand there in the dark and watch you.
Todd Robbins here with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.